We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Today, if you're joining us for the first time or you're streaming live and can't be with us today, well, we encourage you to come when you can. It's always better here, isn't it, people? There's like a few people that think it's better here. But I promise you, it's better here. So we've been in this series called Deeper. Because how many know, nobody decides, yeah, I want to become a Christian because I want to stay in the shallow end of the pool. How many understand God doesn't have a shallow end? There aren't shallow areas of God. And so the Bible talks about deep calling to deep, right? The Bible talks about how God has created us to have deep relationship with him. And so today we're gonna go through the finale of our Deeper series, part four, the benefits of prayer and fasting. And you go, oh Lord, did he just say that? Do we have to talk about fasting? Yeah, we do. Because there's a depth that comes from prayer and fasting that you won't get anywhere else. And if you want to stay shallow, this may not be the church for you. We're fun, but we believe God's word through and through. Well, Chad, what about this? Is it in the word? Something changed inside of me a long time ago. I came to realize that my opinions of the word did not hold water. What I came to realize is God's word was the true North Star. God's word is pointing true north, and my compass isn't going to be flawed based on what the trend is of the day, what the popularity is of the time. I'm going to just trust God's word, and God, if I don't understand it, I pray that you help align me to your word, because right now we're in a foggy world. We're in a blurry area. Things, what is up and what is down? If I can't trust your word, what do I trust? And so I want to dig deeper because God wants a deep relationship with you. He's not looking for surface level stuff. He's not looking for, there's this saying in dating world called friends with benefits where there's no depth. They just want benefits. And people go, did he just say that in church? Well, that's sometimes how people relate with God. They don't want any depth or intimacy with God. They just want the benefits of God. Dude. God created us to have a relationship that makes it to the altar with him. True, mad, deep love. That's what God created us for. I'm not even in my notes yet. I better get started. But he wants us to have deep, deep love. And how many understand curiosity can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing? How many can go back and they can remember Saturday morning cartoons? You know, I'm talking cereal and cartoons. I'm talking before Netflix. I'm talking when you actually, if you wanted to see your cartoon, you had to be up at a certain time to watch your cartoon. You know what I'm saying? This was before Blu-ray. It's actually before DVDs, but we're just going to let that go. But I had this classic. I love Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry. There's something about, Tom and Jerry must have gone beyond generational lines the way that the youth just responded to that, young adults. Anyway, Tom and Jerry, this classic. And what happened? Yes, Jerry ended up getting the better end, and Tom ended up getting hurt most of the time. But Tom, the cat, he would always get hurt twice as much when he was curious about what Jerry, the mouse, was doing. And so curiosity would actually hurt the cat. And we know this saying, curiosity kills the cat. But there's also other cartoons where Dennis the Menace, he was always in trouble because of curiosity. Hello? Wilson, Mr. Wilson. You know, he always got in trouble from curiosity. But can I also tell you, curiosity can have a bad rep because curiosity can also make you dig deeper. And there's a good side of curiosity. And I think that as a Christian, you should be curious. I think God made us curious creatures for a reason. Oh, I'm going to go there. Curiosity can be one of the best catalysts for knowledge and growth. Asking the right questions can lead us to answers we've been seeking for what seems like forever. Could it be that God created us as curious creatures so that we wouldn't stop seeking the answers in life until it leads us back to him? I certainly know God's got a sense of humor because he made me and you for that matter. But perhaps God put a homing device within us called curiosity to lead us back to him. As we wrap up this deeper series today, we've spent time the last couple weeks understanding why, understanding the why beyond the what, so to speak. We've understood what deep faith roots look like, what God blesses. We've understood the basics of prayer and fasting, but today I want to talk about the benefits of prayer and fasting. Today I want us to understand that there are benefits to it, and many do not fast because they don't see it commanded in the New Testament church. Would you agree with that? See, many people don't fast because it's not mandatory. There are a lot of people in here that in life, they treat it kind of like a test, either pass or fail. If I don't have to do it to pass, then I don't necessarily need to focus on it. There are no spark notes to life, right? We actually have to read the whole word and we have to understand what God's saying. And you're not going to be perfect and understand everything perfectly. But what I know is we can strive for the deepness of God, and he reveals it to those who seek and those who knock and those who ask. Hello? And so what I can tell you too is that there are plenty of things in life that may not be commanded, but they're extremely beneficial. And that's what fasting comes into. And so I want to dig in real quick into the book of Nehemiah and look what fasting did for Nehemiah. Follow me to chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "They said to me, 'Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire.' When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, 'O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of an unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly, not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored." It's amazing for a minute. If you look at kind of the genealogy, if you look at the way the Israelites and the Jews were cast, they literally were exiled from Jerusalem. If you go back and look in history, there were times where you had historians going in there saying, "Man, I can barely find any of them." It's like crazy how much of a melding pot this area is. Now, if you go back to Jerusalem, there are literally tons of Jews. We're literally seeing the scripture unfold before our eyes. I was in Israel this year and listening to some of these guys that have dug through the prophets and the sayings, and they're saying, "Man, if you just go back 50, 80, 100 years and you see just how dwindled the Jewish population was in this country, and now you look where we are now and how we're thriving, how the economy has grown, we're watching them drawn back. They may have been in an exile, but they've been drawn back." That's exciting to me. Let's go back to the scripture. "The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put into his heart to be kind to me." Did you get all that? Listen, fasting is a way to demonstrate to God and to ourselves that we are serious about our relationship with him and that we are earnest in our seeking and our request. Did you get that? I want to talk about the benefits of fasting. Number one, it will change us. People say, "Oh, fasting is going to make the situation change." No, it's going to make you change. See, some people think that fasting somehow twists the arm of God to do exactly what you want. But it actually twists your being to think like he thinks. It will change us. After I pray and fast about a situation or a person, I notice whether or not that situation or person changes, I change. My spirit that I carry towards the situation changes. That's beneficial because you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. Sometimes the best solution to your problem is changing yourself rather than expecting the world to change. Starting with the man in the mirror. It will change us. Prayer and fasting changes us. You didn't know Michael could be deep. Oftentimes, until our prayer and fasting changes us, we won't be able to see it change anything else. We're praying and fasting for a solution, but God is looking for a stirring. When he sees new things stirring in us, God will often use our heart, our passion, our humility to actually be the answer. I can't tell you how many times in my life where I've prayed, where I've fasted, where I've done these things, where literally the thing I was praying about, God was changing me to be the answer for. So be careful what you pray about. Because if you really want to see the answer, you may be that. So get ready. Well, on the second hand, I really don't care that much. Well, on the second hand, I don't really want to be that involved. But just understand, God uses people. When he created you, he created us to be a team. He could do it without us, but man, what an honor to be used by God. Amen? And so look what it says in verse 4. It says, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, for days I prayed and fasted. Then I said, too many people are then I saying before they even pray and fast about the situation. They're trying to just command things to happen, but they haven't even changed. They're trying to just, you know, harness and use God's power without actually being charged. They're trying to actually just change the situation by their word without any faith. Your word is not going to change anything. Your faith in his word will change anything. Yes? And so when we fast, when we pray, it should change us to believe what we're about to see. It says he fasted and he mourned and prayed, and then I said, it changes us. And until you change, you're probably not going to see the situation change. You think everyone else needs to change. Starting with them. Sorry. It was in Nehemiah's prayer and fasting that it made a shift in him. Number two, what also are the benefits of prayer and fasting? Number two, it refocuses our attention. Anybody else in here have attention problems? Cat? Squirrel? Coffee, that comes up a lot in my life. There's just this thing about how easy, and in this day and age, everything is screaming for your attention. It's hard to even drive without having something ding at you, without having something, you know, scream at you, without having some sign screaming for your attention. Now, I don't know if you use GPS, but I have advertisements on my GPS. I'm driving, I am minding my own business. I have nothing on my mind but the road and my destination. All of a sudden, ding, coffee shop in 2 miles. Would you like to take that exit? Well, maybe. Which coffee shop is it? There's so many distractions, but what fasting does is it refocuses our attention. And you need to be refocused every now and again. Fasting helps us gain a new perspective and a renewed reliance upon God. Nehemiah in verse 4, starting in verse 4, it says, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. And in fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, what did he say? He said his refocus. Look what it says. He says, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Can we stop for a minute there? He had to refocus, remind himself who God was before he even talked to God. Did you see that scripture? Let's go back to that scripture. I'm giving the computer guys a run for the money today. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. When's the last time you started your prayer like that because you meant that? When's the last time you thought of God like that before you asked something of him? Man, if we can refocus our attention and we can actually pray a faith-filled prayer, reminding God of who he is, he hasn't forgotten, but we need to remember. But if we remind God who he is, it's because we remember who he is. And he goes, oh, you remember. Now let's talk. It refocuses our attention. Go back to that scripture. What else happens after that? It says, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day. Listen, it's important for me to remember that God is listening to me when I pray. How many people have ever, you just go through, you go through things in life where you do things over and over again, you forget why you do them? Anybody? I mean, I'm glad you know why you put pants on in the morning, but do you remember why you pray in the afternoon or the evening? Because he hears us. You know, that's one thing when you're teaching kids to pray, like we pray with our kids before bed every night. And, you know, they're young. And so sometimes you can just tell they're just trying to put the pedal to the metal to get through the prayer. You're like, God, thank you for this day. It was awesome. Amen. I'm like, okay, Kenzie, what happened during the day? Let's have a conversation. Let's have dialogue with God. Oh, yeah, thank you for the chocolate milk, too. Amen. And we laugh, but our prayers aren't much different sometimes. We're still the little six-year-old in our faith sometimes based on the way that we talk to God just to get through something. It refocuses our attention. When we silence the world around us, we can begin to hear the whisper of the Spirit uninterrupted too. It allows us to hear what God's trying to say because it needs to be a dialogue. You know, if all you ever do is say what you want to say and then you run away before God has the ability to actually speak back and you say, Chad, I've never heard God speak audibly. Well, I can't truly say that I have either, but man, does he bring peace to the situations where I was uncertain. Man, does he start to direct me in the way that I feel about situations, and does he start to direct me in the way that doors start closing after I pray whether they were meant to be opened? God can speak to you, but don't look for it in the way that you expect it. Look for it in the small things. Number three, what else does it do as a benefit of prayer and fasting? It reminds us of God's goodness. I kind of already got into that with verse 5 when it says, the God who keeps the covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. God, if you are a good God, then you already care about my situation. God, if you truly love me, then I don't have to convince you of why this is good for me. I've just got to know if this is what you would have of me. See, not everything that would be good for you is exactly the direction God has for you. It would be great for you to be able to go and have a beach house down in the Keys, wouldn't it? That'd be wonderful. But what if God's called you to change something up here? Would that help the created purpose of you? It would help you on the weekend, maybe. Unless you were out of God's house and you weren't actually fulfilling his purpose for your life. So every good thing that could happen to you doesn't mean it's a God thing for you. Hey, God, I would not mind, you know, a place around here. Don't have to go to the Keys. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You don't even know what I'm saying? It reminds us of God's goodness. He is a good God. He wants good things for us. When we actually stop and fast and focus on him and his word and we're spending time with him, remember, fasting is actually, it's repurposing a time. It's canceling something else. It doesn't just have to be food. You can cancel something else. You can cancel that day out shopping with your girlfriend because you realize that your spirit needs some time with God. You can cancel that concert because you realize you should be in the house of God that night instead. You can fast other things to refocus your time on God. Hello? And in fact, I think even more, living in America, fasting food may be a good thing. But what I will tell you is normally your body's not starving food as much as it's starving the other things that have propped you up in life. See, in that day and age, it was like, okay, am I going to fast food or not go see the sheep today? The food was more important, but maybe social media is too important to you. Maybe the binging on that Netflix series is too important to you. Maybe going down to that local pub has been too important to you. Maybe there are other things in your life that haven't been exactly healthy and you need to refocus. That's what fasting does. So it reminds us of God's goodness. We need to remember that. Number four, another benefit of prayer and fasting, it humbles our spirits. When I'm in the presence of God, I remind myself I'm not God. When I get around God, when I pray, it continues to change my heart. And when my heart is changed, it humbles me. Listen to my prayer, it said in verse 6. Look down on me. See me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations. What's he saying? After prayer and fasting, after mourning about the situation, now I want to talk to you, but I can't even talk to you until you realize I understand my shortcomings. I understand my failures. I understand you shouldn't even listen to me based on what I have done. I'm going to humble myself before you because I don't deserve anything. But because you now see that I've my attention is refocused, but because you see my heart is right and I'm humbled, come on. Can we talk? We just need to be humble before God. We need to have our attention on God. We send prayers like messages in a bottle. We just stuff that prayer in a bottle and huzz it into the ocean and assume it's all going to work out. Well, we got to refocus our attention on God. We got to be humble. We got to understand that, yes, he wants to help us, but it's not even about helping us as much as it is about having your child come to you because you understand that they understand their need of you. That's what it is with God. He wants us to understand our need of him. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the one that can supply our riches but with his riches and glory. He's the one that can do it all, but it's about the relationship and that access point. It brings, number five, it brings clarity to our requests. You ever have a conversation with somebody and they keep trailing off and you're just trying to follow the conversation? Yes. Really? Okay, so you were there. Wait, there's a pig? Where'd the pig come from? Okay, so you were there and then there was a pig. I think sometimes we just have to gain clarity on what we actually are asking God. God can have the ability to decipher what we're really trying to say, but do you even know what you're looking for so that you'll know if God blessed it and if he did it? We pray for everything, but can't distinguish anything. And then we wonder why God doesn't show up, but we actually have no expectation of anything because we haven't actually clarified what we're asking. Nehemiah took days of fasting and prayer to get to the place that he could finally ask the Lord for a specific answer. For a specific answer. If you look in verse 11, it says, "O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me." When we have the ability to pray specifically, we have the ability to see if it was answered specifically. I don't know about you, but every time my prayer is answered, it helps me have faith for the next prayer. It helps me have faith that God is still who God is and that I can still go to him and ask these things. And so it brings clarity to our request. Are you getting anything out of this? Yes. Number six, it prepares our heart for action. There's one thing about thinking about something, but it's a whole nother thing about actually doing it. And what I know is when I read in Nehemiah, it says that he prayed and he fasted and he mourned and then he talked to God and then he had a specific request and then he was prepared and ready to do the thing that he was going to have to do to see the solution he wanted to see. We always want to see the thing done, but we never necessarily think that we have to be part of it. And God goes, no, that's how it works. That's what being his hands and feet mean. We're part of the plan. And if you look in chapter 2, and I don't have time to read all of the chapters and all the text, but if you look in chapter 2, it says in verse 1 through 3, look at this. It says, early the following spring in the month of Nisan, not like Sentra, Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. You understand he was the cupbearer. He was the one that would taste the wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned, and then he would give it to the king. How many think that the king trusts that person? How many think the king selects wisely who he's going to put his life in the hands of? So it's not like he didn't already have favor with the king, but it's one thing to have favor with the king when it's all about the king. It's another thing to have favor with the king when it's about your needs. And so let's go back. I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire." If you jump over to verse 4 and 5, it goes on to say, the king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven. Isn't it funny? Just for a moment here. We've gotten all the way to this point. He's prayed, he's fasted, he's mourned. He's asked God very specifically what he can do. Now he's in the moment. He's like, let me just throw up another prayer. This isn't going to be easy. Let me throw up another prayer. God, you still with me, right? Check this out. He goes on to say, with a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. Do you even realize what he just asked? Let me entrust your life with someone else, even though you trust me. As long as I'm gone, someone else will tell you it's not poisonous. As long as I'm gone, someone else will have to guarantee your life is safe so that I can go as long as it takes to rebuild a whole city wall. That's not a small request. When you're in service to the king, it's not like you punched out at 5 o'clock and you can do what you want. Do you context here? Do you understand what he's asking? So it prepares our heart for action. That was a big ask, but he was able to actually ask it. Can I tell you there are things that you need to ask for that you have not done yet? You haven't asked for that thing. You've been working so well for years, but you've never asked about that promotion. You've been serving so well, but you've never asked about the things that are on your heart. You have to be willing and to have a big ask. I remember I was talking with Pastor Rick in San Antonio, and I was talking to him about some decisions that had to be made here at the church, and how many think it's good to have some wise counsel. And so as I'm talking with him, and I'm like, well, this is the angle, this is what I see. And he says, have you asked yet? And I said, no, that's a big ask. And he goes, I know, but you have to ask. Now, that didn't seem profound, because we know we have to ask. It may not seem profound to you, but when's the last time you actually had the courage to ask? I live my life. You have not because you ask not. Somebody comes with me, they realize. People are like, man, he is blessed. You see the things he gets for what he gets them for? I just ask. The worst I can say is no. That doesn't mean you're petty. It just means you understand. The Bible says that the people of the world tend to be more wise in the things of the world and the way in which they handle their business. You know that's what it says? But it tells us that we should be gentle as doves but shrewd as snakes. Did you know that? I'm off. I'll bring it back. So how can I help you? He asked. But number 7, because I got to keep moving, what else are the benefits of prayer and fasting? It can create new opportunity. And that's something that we all want, is some good new opportunity. King Artaxerxes, how can I help you? He said. Send me to Judah so I can rebuild my ancestors, the city where my ancestors are buried. Look what it says in Nehemiah 2:6. It says this. It says, the king with the queen sitting beside him asked, how long will you be gone? When will you return? After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. Sometimes I look at it and go, it's easy to look through the eyes of the way we think, right? A kind of flesh and the way that we think. If we're not thinking godly and spiritually, we go, well, wouldn't that have just happened if he had just asked the king anyway? Did he really have to go through all of that? I promise you, because of prayer and fasting, you're willing to ask things you would have never asked before. Because of prayer and fasting, you'll know the right things to ask that you would have never thought before. Because of prayer and fasting, it'll prepare your heart for action so that you will actually be ready to act on it when the opportunity arises. Deeper. Come on. So if the heart weren't prepared to ask, how would he have ever had this answer and this opportunity? You have not because you ask not. You know, if we look at this principle in 1 Kings 3, I'm not going to go there, but you can read about it. It's King Solomon requesting wisdom on discerning justice. And God was like, man, because you asked for that, yes, I'm going to give you that. You wanted to discern justice and lead well? Yeah, ask for it. Man, I ask all sorts of things for God. I ask big things for God. I don't think anything's too big for God. It may be too big for me now, but I'm going to put that request out now. I just want him to know it's on my mind. Number 8, it can bring a new level of favor. Everybody wants favor. Look what it says in verse 7, Nehemiah 2:7. It says, I also said to the king, if it pleases the king. So it's not just enough that he's going. Let's also dig deeper here. It also, if it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territory on my way to Judah. What's he saying? I would like an escort. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's force, instructing him to give me all the free timber I need. Hello. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress for the city. And I got more scripture here. City walls and for a house for myself. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. Whew. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates, I delivered the king's letter to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. He even got more than he was expecting. Hello? It can bring new levels of favor. Man, if I can understand, favor changes things. God's grace towards us changes things. His favor towards us changes things. I want more of his favor. I got to go deeper. I got to show him there's an earnestness to what I seek. There's a purpose. Come on, Roseanne. I just heard that. Somebody's Roseanne alarm went off. It gets God's attention. It might have just been a harmonica. Number 9, it gets God's attention. Seriously, people that are on stream are like, what did he just say? There's a phone that just went off with a harmonica, and it made me think of the intro of an 80s TV show. 90s, whatever. It gets God's attention. I gotta reel this back in. Squirrel! It gets God's attention because it refocuses our attention on the things God cares about. It gets his attention. Whenever you have God's attention, it can change the situation. Just remember that. Whenever I have God's attention, that'll change the situation. God, I need a situation changed in my life. Let me get your attention. God, I need you right now. Let me get your attention. Now, yeah, the scripture says that he always has his ear inclined, or I guess from him, declined, because he's up there, right? To hear from us, right? But there's an earnestness. There's a seeking. When it comes to the parable that Jesus talked about, it talked about the person that just kept knocking and just kept knocking. And although the person kept knocking and kept knocking and kept knocking and kept knocking, it was their persistence that had the door open. You think, well, God loves me so much, I'm just going to throw up a quick prayer and I'm going to go on my day. And God's going, do you even really want this? I want God's favor on my life, and I'm willing to go deep for it. I'm willing to dig deeper. Some think that if I fast, God will have to do it. Fasting does not twist the arm of God. However, it does hold the power and can bring the answer when united with faith-filled prayer. Oftentimes, it changes us to be a part of the answer as the keys come back. I've come to see God doesn't change the situation until the situation changes us. Oftentimes, it's the prayer and fasting that changes us, and through our change, we can see more clearly the things of God. We can see it through his eyes, new eyes, and it allows us to find the answer or be the answer.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.